Proverbs, chapter number 8. And we're going to start with verse number 14 tonight. I'm going to ask you to forgive me right off the bat for my gravelly or nasally voice today. And after the song service, it seems to take a lot of air, so I might be huffing and puffing a little bit tonight. But I ask that you bear with me. I hope my speech will be clear and that we'll each understand what God has for us out of the book of Proverbs chapter 8 tonight. Let's start with verse number 14. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign and princes decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me. And those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of His way, therefore before His works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. I want to talk to you tonight again on wisdom and understanding married together as one. We see over and over again that it's referred to as she. Now we see that it's called I am here, not meaning the Lord here, but these are by me, speaking of wisdom and understanding, are these done. And so I want to talk to you again about the marriage of wisdom and understanding as one and what they do and provide for us as Christians and as people if we'll follow the truths that God has for us. So let's bow our head for a word of prayer. And then we'll begin our study. Father, thank you for tonight. Holy Spirit, please meet with us. Forgive me of anything and everything that would cause you not to flow through me to your people. And I ask earnestly that you'd open our hearts and our minds to this simple truth. Because, Father, this is the plan that you have for us, for our life. It's revealed here to us from your word. So guide and direct and teach us tonight. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now we've known that wisdom and understanding are here for us. We know that wisdom is looking at life from God's point of view. Looking at ourselves from God's point of view. Looking at others and how we treat others from God's point of view. And then understanding is the application or applying of the view of God to comprehend it and to accept it. Many people, including Christians, understand it. We try to apply it, but we really don't accept it as a way of life. God's telling us this is the way He wants us to live. This is a change that we must on purpose make in our life so we can be for Him and for others what He intends for us to be. This is not humanly possible. This is only heavenly possible. And that's why when we try to do what wisdom and understanding are, and we try to live this way in our own life, we often fall short because we try to do it in our own strength, and in our own power, and in our own might. But that's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to do it through Him. And that's why last week we learned that there are things that God hated. In verse 13, for the fear of the Lord is to hate pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate. We learned that last week. We learned those things, why God hates them. And the biggest reason He hates them is they cause us to go our own direction instead of following His direction. When I get full of pride, remember pride is the opposite of humility. Humility is to wholly depend upon God pride is to think of ourselves as the one who has the answer. To not depend upon God, but depend upon ourselves. And so those are the things that God hates. But look at verse 14 now. Counsel is mine, and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. So in verse 14, we see four things that wisdom and understanding have when they get married together as one and they become a part of our life by us applying it. It gives us counsel. Oftentimes I don't know what to do and I say I need to seek counsel from somebody. Anybody besides me ever do that? Go to ask somebody else for advice. God says, I am your advice. When you come to me, wisdom and understanding, I will guide you. I will be your personal counselor. We're celebrating Christmas right now. This is the Christmas season. Before our next Wednesday night service, Christmas will have come. At that, one of the things in Isaiah, we call him counselor. That's who's here. Our counselor. Our great God. That's who's here for us. And so he says, that's what I am. I'm counsel. Number two, he says, sound wisdom. In verse 14, counsel is mine, and sound wisdom. Now there's wisdom out there, but there must be sound wisdom. Wisdom that's firm, wisdom that leads us in a direction, wisdom that causes us to go in that proper direction. So it's sound wisdom. It's not just wisdom, it's sound. It's firm. It's good. It's got a great depth to it. It's a sound wisdom. Next thing, he says understanding. Remember, understanding is the application or the applying of the view of God to comprehend it and to accept it. He says, when we do this, I am understanding. When we walk with God and we walk with Him and we allow Him to be our counselor, we allow Him to be our sound wisdom, He becomes our understanding. I can understand a lot of things from a perspective of a parent now that I've been a parent. I can understand a lot of things from a perspective of a grandparent now that I've been a grandparent. When I was a parent, I understood a lot of things that parents went through, but I didn't understand what grandparents went through. Now that I'm older, I can understand that more. I can appreciate that more. Why? Because I've had that experience. Well, you know, God has all the experience you and I need. He's been around since the very beginning. He made this earth. He made man. He knows what the devil's up to. He knows what sin is. He's walked this earth in our shoes. He's gone through all the difficulties that you and I have gone through. He's gone through pain and suffering, the loss of loved ones. He's gone through loss of relatives like his dad, his earthly father, Joseph. He knows what it's like to lose dear friends when Lazarus, his friend, died. He knows what it's like to go through watching people get sick and needing healing. There's nothing he hasn't experienced. He says, I am counsel, I am sound wisdom, I am understanding. Because of that, he says, I am counsel and sound wisdom, I am understanding. And when we put those things together, he says in verse 14, I have strength. Strength is to have victory over a foe, or majesty or might, or an act of power, or the word power or strength, of course. Strength. He says, I have strength. How do I get that strength? Well, counsel is mine. Sound wisdom is his. Understanding is what he is. And because of that, he has the strength we need. When I need strength in a time of need, that's who I need to go to. I know this sounds sometimes odd to people, but I think there's something special about people who go through difficulties and challenges. That when they go through them, that they have something that people who are watching them don't have. I'll use an illustration from years ago in our life. Our daughter Jennifer was born with hyaline membrane disease. She couldn't breathe. The very few moments after her birth, they put her in a jar. They put her head in a jar, filled that jar with oxygen. Pardon me, it's called a hood. And it looked like a jar with a lid on it. That's really what it looked like. And her head was in there, and her neck was outside of it, and the rest of her body. And then they moved her from that to a, I called it a hot dog cooking machine. It was an incubator kind of thing that was filled with oxygen because she couldn't breathe on her own. But that wasn't enough for her. The hospital said, there's nothing we can do for her here at this hospital, Mr. and Mrs. Marco. We're going to have to take her down to Children's Hospital. So they packed her up in this machine, and with a doctor and nurses and the ambulance, they rushed her by ambulance to Children's Hospital. My wife, who had just given birth, couldn't go. She had to stay at the hospital she was at. I drove down behind the ambulance and drove down to the hospital to find out what they were going to do with our daughter down there. And they utilized every part of her. They utilized the umbilical cord. They put things in her feet and in her head. They put oxygen in her. They put her in a special incubator kind of thing. They covered her eyes, and so then they put big lights on her, and they did all sorts of things to her. I remember she was in there for quite a while. My mom and my dad and my brothers and my sister came down. I had a sister that lived in the area that was there at the time, and she came to see us. And I remember Mom, my wife, had just gotten out of the hospital. And her and I went to the hospital to check on Jennifer. And my sister was there, and she couldn't go in to see her. She could only look through a glass. We were allowed to scrub up like doctors and put on special clothing and go in there. And there was one place that you could put your hand inside and take your finger, and we were allowed to touch our daughter just with our finger. And we would sit and rub her arm and rub her hand with our finger, huh, sweetheart? Huh? And her foot, forehead. And we'd just rub them. Couldn't hold her, couldn't kiss her, couldn't snuggle her. We weren't allowed to do anything but touch her through that one little spot where we were allowed to slide her hand through. I walked out of the room one day, shortly after my wife had gotten there, and my sister said, "What can I do to help you?" I said, "Nothing, we're in great condition." She said, "What do you mean?" I said, "We don't have anything to worry about, God's in control." My sister didn't understand that. My wife and I were at peace. They would tag her every couple hours. They would evaluate her and put a tag up. And there was green, which meant she was in good condition. It would be yellow, where she was not quite stable. Then there would be another color. I don't remember what it was. Orange, maybe. And then there was red. And the last color was red. And red meant there was nothing more they could do. The baby would pass soon. And twice they tagged my daughter red during the time that she was in the intensive care. My sister got worried and concerned, and what should you do? And nothing. God was in control. We were okay. We were really quite fine. We were at peace. We believed God was going to do whatever God was going to do. There wasn't anything that we could do. The doctors were doing all that they could do. The nurses were doing all that they could do. What was it left to be done? Nothing but to depend on the Lord. I said, just pray for us and pray for the baby. She'll be all right. Pray for Jennifer. God will see us through whatever His will is. Because at that time we didn't know what His will was. Now Jennifer's a great big adult. I think she's 29 years old this year. She'll be 29 next month. And a big adult and doing fine. But her first couple months, boy, it was touch and go. Yet through all that time, God gave us a comfort that those around us didn't have. A strength that those around us didn't have. Why? Because we were looking for Him for wisdom. We were looking for Him to be our counselor. We were looking for Him to be our strength. We were looking to Him, and He was being for us everything that we needed at that time. I know many people try to do whatever they can. They'll turn to a bottle of liquor instead. They'll turn to drugs instead. They'll get mad at God and get mad at everyone else instead. But what's there to worry about? God's in control. We'll go to Him. And He becomes what we need. And that's what God's trying to teach us here. He was our strength. He was our victory. He was our force. He was our master. He was our might. He's the mighty one. That's what the word strength means. Then it says in verse 15 and 16, I love this. By me, kings reign, and princes decree justice. By me, princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. Listen, there isn't a judge and there isn't a leader in the world that God hasn't appointed there. And you know what he tells us then? That he gives power. He gives power and he taketh away power. He's in charge of that. When we had this last election, we prayed as a church, we prayed that God's perfect will would be done in America. Not that my candidate would win, or somebody else's candidate would win, or your candidate would win, or who else's candidate would win, but the one that God wanted to be in charge would be the one that was in charge. And that's what we have. I believe that's what we have. God has something He's doing in America. He's got everything going in the direction that He wants it to go in. I don't always understand everything God's doing here. I don't understand everything that America's going through here all the time, but I know this, I know my God's in charge and He giveth power. So it says, so she here, wisdom and understanding, giveth the power to kings to rule and to reign. Look what it says in verse number 17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Here I see that wisdom is found early if we want it. If you want to find wisdom and understanding, it's there for us. It's there for us early. And that tells me this. Not only is it there for the young, I'm sorry, for the old, it's there for the young. A young person can have just as much wisdom as an older person, because the wisdom is from God's point of view, not from our point of view. It's not the wisdom of the world that a child should be looking for or a teenager should be looking for. It should be wisdom from God, God's point of view. Not my point of view, but God's point of view. That's why it's so important that we teach our young people to be in church. That's why it's so important that we teach them church is more important than a job. And I know that in America today that's not a popular thing, but the truth is that church is more important than a job. If you have to lose your job in order to be in church, I'd rather have you lose your job than be in church than have a job and not be in church. Why? Because the principal thing is God in our life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Do we not believe God? Do we not believe that is possible? I know it's not popular. It's made people mad. It's caused people to leave this church because I believe that. Oh well. If you don't want to put God first in your life, you don't have to. But I'm going to. And just because you may not like it, or somebody else may not like it, or somebody may get mad and leave the church, that doesn't mean it changes what the Word of God says. We need to keep Him first. We need to keep Him first in everything we do. And all that we do. Why? Because I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. So that means it doesn't matter if you're 10 years old, or 50 years old, we both can have the same amount of wisdom. Because wisdom is looking at life from God's point of view. Understanding is to accept it, to apply it, and to comprehend it. I think it's easier for a young person to accept and comprehend and apply God's Word than it is for an adult. Years ago, we taught our children, ask God for what you need when you pray. Ask God for what you need when you pray. We had our family devotions and we'd pray every night. And we'd go around the room and we'd pray for things that we wanted from the Lord and we needed from the Lord. And one day one of our children needed a pair of shoes, so we started praying for a pair of shoes. And I told my children to be specific in their prayer. And that's what I've taught and I've preached. But during our prayer night one night, my daughter said, Lord, I need a pair of shoes and I want red ones. And I said, wait, honey girl. Just will it take whatever the Lord provides for? She said, but I want red ones. And you said, Dad, to be specific in our prayer. And I said, okay, but we'll take whatever God gives us, right? And she said, yeah, we will, Dad. But I want red ones. I said, okay. I think it was Saturday. There was a knock on the door. And one of the ladies of the church was there. And she said, I was at the store and I saw some things. And I thought of your children. And I thought I'd buy these things for you, so here you go. And she bought a few things. We opened up the bag, and the last thing we pulled out were a red pair of shoes that were exactly my daughter's size. Oh, did she get excited, and boy, did I get convicted. Amen. Because it's easier for them, young people, to have faith than it is for us old people. We think we're supposed to interfere with God. We're supposed to do it. Well, we believe this, and we'll apply this, but let me handle it over here, Lord. But a child doesn't do that. A child says, I'm not in control of anything. Because they're not. They're not in control of the electric bill or the gas bill or the car or where they're going to go or what they're going to wear or when they're going to eat or where, how they're going to get somewhere. Everything's by obedience to somebody else. So it's easier for them to obey God than just follow what He says by faith. Because that's what they practice every day. We as adults, we're independent. We don't need nobody. That's what we think. I mean, we make our own money. We decide where we're going to live. We decide what car we're going to drive. We decide the color of the car we're going to drive. We decide how much money we're going to spend. We decide how big our gas bill is going to be, and then we shut the gas off from that point on. Or leave it on. Or you understand what I mean. We're in control. But truly, our life of wisdom and understanding being married into our life is not us controlling it, but God. So God says, if you seek Him early, you will find Him. And then He says this, I love them that love me. I love them that love me. I understand that statement. You love those that love you too, don't you? And it's not just, oh, I love you. True love is deep, passionate, consuming. Shows in every portion of your life. That's what true, deep, true love is. And God says, I love them that love me. Then verse 18 and 19 says, my fruit is better than gold, yea, fine gold, and my revenue of choice silver. I lead in did I read both? Okay, verse 18. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. That tells me that she, wisdom and understanding, give us durable riches. There's a truth here, and I'm going to give it to you like this. It doesn't matter. Now, you're not going to believe this, but this is true. It doesn't matter if you're saved or not. If you live by the principles of wisdom and understanding, it doesn't matter if you're saved or not. God is going to take care of you physically and financially. Because wisdom and understanding are the principles that are here in God's Word. When we apply those principles, it doesn't just say for saved people. It says applying these principles. When we put wisdom and understanding there, we look at life from God's point of view. We treat people like Jesus would treat people, like He teaches us to treat others. When we treat ourselves like He expects us to treat others, we use His wisdom, whether it's for a saved person or not a saved person. Those principles are the same, and it gives us the same result. So if you want to have financial prosperity, then we need to live by wisdom and understanding. Because why? She gives durable riches. That's what they tell. That's what God tells us here in verses 18 and 19, verse 20 and 21. Verse 20 and 21, I lead thee in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. Again, we see that God says He'll give substance. She'll lead us around the pitfalls of life. I'll lead thee in the way of righteousness. Now, that's around difficulties, amen? That's the opposite of unrighteousness. I believe she's a wisdom and understanding. She, married together as one, becomes a tremendous way for us to lead our life to avoid the pitfalls of life. Most of the problems that we go through as human beings are self-inflicted. I don't know how many problems I've had in life that haven't been self-inflicted. Oh yeah, there's been some. But most of my problems have been self-inflicted. Because I didn't use wisdom. I didn't use understanding. I didn't apply those things to my life. I made the best choices I thought I should make. I went the directions I thought I should go. I didn't pray about it. It had nothing to do with putting God first. It had with putting me first. My feelings, my emotions, my thoughts, where I wanted to be. I always get myself in trouble every time. Every time. Every time. Most of us are in that same boat, aren't we? We self-inflict ourselves with wounds because we fall in the pitfalls. They're right there. There's a chuck hole in the road. You just keep going down that road, you're going to hit that chuck hole. Wisdom says go around it. Avoid it. And God says, I'll lead you in the path of righteousness. He says there, I lost my place. I'll lead thee in the way, verse 20, I'll lead thee in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment. So I'll take care of you. I'll lead you in the right direction. I'll give you good judgment. I'll help you see the right things. We can't do that on our own. Remember I said at the beginning tonight that these are things that God does. These aren't things that we do. This is looking at life from God's point of view, accepting them, comprehending them, and applying them. And then he says those things will lead you that way. It's an automatic. It's not us. So he'll lead us around the pitfalls of life. And she, wisdom and understanding, will give us more substance, more things to depend on. We're always trying to figure out our own way of trying to, how are we going to make it? Where are we going to get the money for this? How are we going to take care of that? Where are we going to get this at? God says, I'll take care of all that for you by putting wisdom and understanding to work in your life. That's one. Verse number 22. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of His ways, before His works of old. Verse 23. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there was no depth, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abiding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet He had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest parts of the dust of the earth, of the world. When He prepared the heavens, I was there. And when He set a compass upon the face of the depth, and He established the clouds above, and He strengthened the fountains of the deep, when He gave to the sea His decree that the water should not pass His commandment, when He appointed the foundations of the earth, when I was by Him, I was one brought up with Him. I was daily His delight and rejoicing always before Him. Who is this that you're talking about? Wisdom and understanding. Before anything ever was, before there was an earth, before God created anything, wisdom and understanding were there. These are the attributes then of God. Wisdom and understanding are. They've always been around. They're before there was ever any water. They're before there was any dirt. They're before there was any man. They're before there was anything. Wisdom and understanding were with God. I like this verse 30. When I was by Him, as one brought up with Him. From the very beginning then, there's been wisdom and understanding. I was His daily delight and rejoicing always before Him. To me, that's an amazing statement. So God is giving to you and I wisdom and understanding, something that's always been before there ever was an earth. Something that's just the right thing from the very beginning. It's a part of Him He's giving to us. I'm going to close with this little story, but recently, I've been missing my dad a lot, and I don't know why for sure, but I've just been missing my dad. He's been gone for over 20 years now. I pulled out an old tape I'd found long ago. We never see it. We never look at it. I think I saw it one time before. And I pulled it out, and I watched it. It's an old videotape, you know. And videotapes don't last a whole long time, and it's grainy and it's rough, but there was my dad on the screen. I heard his voice. I hadn't heard his voice in over 20 years. There was his face. There was his expressions. I watched him talk. I watched him give this speech. It was about 15 minutes, maybe 13. Not very long. It was about a project he was working on at work, and he was giving it to the what he called the front row, and that was the owners and the presidents of the portions of his company. He was vice president at the time. And I thought, I make some of those expressions. My wife and I chatted while it was on. My brother Denny and some of my other brothers and sisters make some of the other expressions. And there's some things, like right here on me is my dad. I've got his higher forehead than some of my brothers and sisters do. But my dad had a really strong brow, a really protruding brow. And I have a large nose, but my dad's nose was about twice the size of mine. So you know he had one of those big Italian noses. And I thought, I'm a part of him. He's a part of me. For years, my wife has known she has a brother somewhere. Her dad had been married before and at a very young age, and they had a child and things didn't work out and they were divorced. And then years later, he met my wife's mom and they got married, and her dad and mom had four children, and they were never allowed to see their stepbrother. Their stepbrother was never allowed to see them. Half-brother, I'm sorry. Not stepbrother, half-brother. And there is a difference. And so, we have looked, and we have looked, and we have looked, and we have looked. And just a few weeks ago, we actually contacted him. This week, Sunday, I believe. Was it Sunday? Yeah, Sunday evening. She saw a photograph of him for the first time. We had a photograph when he was a little bitty youngin' of him and his mom and my wife's dad. And we sent that to him. My wife's been communicating with him by phone and by letter and text messages. And he sent her a picture. And in the picture, you can see his dad in him. And you can see his mom in him. They are a part of him. A part of him that'll never go away. My wife was so excited for the first time in a long time. She's missed her daddy for many years. She's been gone for almost 40 years or close to it. At least 35 for sure. And she's to see someone else that's a part of her dad. A real live breathing human being that resembles him. In some ways is exciting. It's masterful. It's amazing. And that's what God says wisdom and understanding are. It's from Him. It's a part of us He's given to you and me. It's a part of Him that lives in us today. It's a part of Him that He looks to look at us and see the resemblances in our faces and in our speech. And in our movements, and where we go, and what we do, and how we behave, because we're His. Just like my dad is a part of me, and my wife's half-brother is a part of her, and her dad's part that she hasn't seen in nearly 40 years. And for him, I won't tell you how old my wife is, but he's 60 years old, and she had never seen him. Amazing. We need to be like Jesus, don't we? And that's what wisdom and understanding do for us. That's what he's just told us here in chapter 8 of Proverbs. What a wonderful God we have. It's so exciting to know that we can see Him and each other by the way we look, by the way we talk, by the way we behave, by the way we move. Because from the very beginning, wisdom and understanding have been a part of Him, and He's made them a part of us if we'll accept it. Not salvation, because that's a separate thing, but wisdom and understanding. What a great gift that we can talk about it this Christmas season He's given to you and I. Father, thank you for what we've learned. Now, Holy Spirit.